On the day that my first grandson was born, at the end of that day, I was in Odessa, Texas, and I went very close to where the hospital was to a restaurant that I had never eaten at before, even though I'd lived in that area for 17, 19 years. La Bodega was the name of the restaurant. I went in that evening to get supper. Sat down, the restaurant was kind of dark, the menu was brought to me, and I just asked what the house specialty was, and I was told a chili relleno, and I said, I'll have that, I'd like a chili relleno, please. Now, if I had looked at the menu, I probably never would have ordered that chili relleno. If I had foreseen what was coming, I probably never would have tasted how wonderful it was. For had I read the menu, it would have said this: stuffed Anaheim peppers, deep fried in beer batter, and smothered with red sauce and cheese. Well, that sounds pretty good. But this part was also on there: topped with raisins, pecans, and sour cream with a side of guacamole. I would have shortchanged the experience because of a preconceived notion I had that ice cream sundae toppings do not belong on Mexican food.
Somewhere back when I was young, I was a good man's child. So I lost some nameless things, my innocence flew away from me. She had to hide a face from my desire to embrace forbidden fire. But at night I dream, she's singing over me. Oh, oh, my child, come on home. Hold me, and I will hold you in my arms, and joyfully there will always, always be a place for you at my table. Return to me.
Well, there you are. And welcome to Redemption's Table. I'm Robert Barge, your host. We are in the midst of a very busy week. We've had the Super Bowl back on Sunday, had Mardi Gras on Tuesday. Yesterday was Valentine's Day, and it was also the very first day of the beginning of the season of Lent. So wow, it's been a full week. Today we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, the table. We just finished listening to a Josh Garrels song. It's the first time that Josh's music has been featured here. It's a song called At the Table from his 2015 album, Home. Go check out Josh's other great music wherever you happen to stream. He's got a lot of good songs out there, and it's good to have his music shared here at the table. Back in 2019, when this podcast was just getting started, I was sitting in a Good Friday service. I heard a gentleman preach a message, and he kept talking about redemption. And I reached out to him and invited him on the podcast. And when I first sat down to talk to Patrick Banneker Hatcherson, pastor of the 23rd Street Baptist Church, I asked him, what are three ingredients in the life of Banneker? His answer was, my intense prayer meditation life, I need that. Second, he said, my curiosity feeds my interest in diverse things. And the third thing he said is, my quest for simplicity. I knew right off the bat, Banneker and I were going to be great friends. And as I was praying over the title for that conversation, for that podcast episode, which is our 21st episode, that's when a thought struck me that has stayed with me to this day. It's now a part of my prayer journal. And the thought was this, let Jesus set the table. That's the main encouragement of today's podcast. Let Jesus set the table of your life. You have just got to pay attention to what he is putting down before you all the time. You've got to pay attention to where he's leading, because he will surprise you. He constantly does. The greatest opportunity you have had to spend with Jesus this week possibly could have been the one you overlooked. I wonder why that is. I think it's because we do not know how to let Jesus set the table for our lives. I think all of us easily fall into the habit of setting our own table. I think we forget we trust a Creator God who is daily in the kitchen preparing new recipes of steadfast love and mercy. Lamentations 3, 22 through 23, some of my favorite verses, it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. I think we forget we trust a Creator God who is daily in the kitchen preparing new recipes of steadfast love and mercy. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit are setting our tables daily with these new recipes. And sometimes we won't let him. Sometimes we refuse him. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, it tells the story of Jesus and his disciples. They were on their way, traveling, journeying. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Obviously, she was preparing a meal. So she came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Jesus replied, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus is a guest in Martha's house, and he is trying to set the table. Mary is letting him do that, but Martha is resisting him. And Jesus says to the worried sister, Mary has chosen what is better. Mary has chosen the good portion in the Greek. What it means, Mary has chosen the best dish on the table, which is fellowship with me. I love the way Eugene Peterson puts it. He says, "One thing only is essential. Martha and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course and won't be taken from her." We need to let Jesus set the table with himself. That's what he was trying to do there in Mary and Martha's home. Here's the question. Are you doing that? Are you allowing your life plenteous opportunity to fill yourself with the best dish on the table? Are you spending time in fellowship with Jesus, with an open word, an open heart, open ears, open mind, open life? I encourage you, indulge yourself in this recipe, all of it, every bit of it. If we're not careful, we are only going to respond to the part of Jesus that appeals to us. I can tell you two ingredients of Jesus that most people I have encountered want to gravitate towards when we talk about him. The first ingredient is his anger. In John 2, it tells how Jesus cleansed the temple, threw over the tables of the money changers. People want to gravitate to that. And I've often been curious about that. Why that? Well, I think it's to justify our anger. I'm just going to tell you, I don't trust your anger. I don't trust my anger. I trust Jesus' anger. So that's an appealing ingredient of Jesus' recipe. The other thing that people want to talk about a lot is his love. Well, that's a good thing to talk about. And I understand why people want to gravitate to that. But sometimes the motivation is to excuse themselves from telling people the truth about who God is, all of it. His love, yes, put that on the table. His grace, yes, I want some of that. His confrontation, yes, put that on the table. His anger, yes. His approachability, yes. His acceptance, yes. His compassion, yes. His blunt force truth, yes. All these things are there. If I try to remove from Jesus the things about him I don't like, I am trying to alter his recipe. I am trying to set my own table. I am trying to pick the raisins off the chili relleno. So first we must let Jesus set the table with himself. A few chapters over, in Luke chapter 14, there was another table event that took place. It says, "One Sabbath when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee," a Pharisee was a religious leader, the religious of the religious, "he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisees and the experts in the law, 'Is it lawful to heal this man on the Sabbath or not?' But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him away. Then he asked the Pharisees, 'If one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out?' And they had nothing to say." Jesus asked them questions, but they remained silent. Jesus asked them questions, but they had nothing to say. When you let Jesus be Jesus, sometimes you are not going to like what he sets before you on the table. Not all table conversations with Jesus are comfortable. They can bring comfort, but often we can't get to that comfort because we won't answer the questions Jesus is asking. Now, estimates vary, but Jesus asked a lot more questions than he answered. He asked about 307 questions in the Gospels, give or take a few, and he was asked about 183 questions. Do you know how many he answered? He answered 3. Jesus is a guest in the Pharisee's house, and he is trying to set the table. But this is a religious table, and they don't like the way he is setting it. They have their ways. They have their rules. one of which was, "Thou shalt not heal on the Sabbath day." So Jesus is fooling with their customs. He is messing with their orthodoxy. And I cannot help but wonder if this does not apply to a lot of us who sit down in a worship service week after week, and we won't let Jesus set the table because we already have the table set our way, our Baptist way, our Methodist way, etc. I hate to say this because it's true, but a discovery I have made along the way is when somebody gives the commendation, "That person goes to church every week," I have discovered that is not necessarily a commendation worth putting a lot of stock in. Sometimes we have let religion set our table because there's a certain amount of comfort and security in that. But we won't let Jesus set our table because you never quite can tell what he might ask us to do and where he might ask us to go. Sometimes we become like Judas Iscariot. You know, he was invited to Jesus' table and he sat there for 3 years until he got up from that table one night and went out into the darkness. In that moment, it was as if Jesus was saying to him, "I can only lead you this far because you won't let me lead you any further." Here's the good news. Let Jesus set the table before you. Let him set it with himself. Let him set it with his love. Let him set it with his truth, because everyone is invited to his table. There is a place for you at his table. As he said to the Pharisees that day, "When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed." I'm so glad Jesus included that list, because that is every one of us. I have been every one of those things, and so have you. Well, thanks for sharing the table. Hope you will join us again next week when the call goes out. Party of Redemption, your table is now ready. Until then.
Wondering where I might begin. Hear a voice upon the wind. She's singing faith, but singing true. Son, there ain't nothing you can do. But listen close and follow me. I'll take you where you're meant to be. Just don't lose faith.
Be right back here again at the table.